4:00, and at this time, I would like to call the July meeting of the Rogers Water Works and Sewer Commission to order. And the first item on our agenda would be a review of the minutes from our June 17th meeting. And I would entertain a motion on those minutes.
Make a motion that we approve the minutes of the June 17th Water and Sewer Commission minutes.
We have a motion.
Second?
Travis, thank you for second. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? With that, the approval of the minutes. The next item on our agenda would be reports. We have financial reports. Mr. Sigmund, if you would, please.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hi. The end of our fiscal year is June.
Congratulations.
Finished one up. So rather than just a strict monthly report, we'll give you a little bit of an overview of FY24, how that ended up. These, as a caveat, will be unaudited numbers. We'll be working to schedule our audit with those folks in the next month or two. But we also have, we know, some other year-end adjusting entries and some accruals of some additional expenses that we'll be doing. So these numbers will change a little bit, but as of today, this is a good draft to present to you. And we'll give you a fair idea about how we ended the fiscal year. We'll start with budget to actuals for revenues and expenses. Can y'all see that on your screens?
Yes.
Okay, good. So revenues did better than budget, and expenses were under budget. That's the short story. Revenue for water finished the year about 107% of its budget. Billing for water usage was actually a little bit less than we budgeted, about $400,000 less. Where we really came over was our investment income and our access and our impact fees. Those were both well over our budgeted amounts for the fiscal year. And what's true for water is also true for sewer. We had probably a too conservative of an estimate for the investment income. That was probably $700,000 difference on the water side. And then access and impact fees came in $600,000 better than budget. If you look at the expenses there, every operating division came in under budget, a total of about 94% of budget for expenses. And the net income for water, that bottom line number there, $5.9 million, compared to about $4.9 million from the prior year. Looking at sewer and the revenues, they were about 127% of budget. Billing for sewer usage was a little bit closer than water. It was still under budget, about $65,000 less, but closer to budget, closer to our projection there. Same thing, interest income, access and impact fees were also better here. And then notably, that revenues figure also includes a $2.5 million ARPA grant. So that's not something we'll see every year, but it was, it happened this year. We became eligible to receive that and recorded that in FY24. Expenses, about 91% of budget, and bottom line number for sewer, about $9.7 million net income compared to $5.3 million from the prior year. And again, these net income figures, these will decrease a little bit because we have accounts payable check runs on the 10th and 25th of every month. Our practice has been normally to accrue any FY24 expenses on the normal 10th run and then do sort of a catch-up AP check run on the 15th to accrue anything back. I just bumped it back another couple of weeks so that anything that really should be in FY24 we'll capture with that AP check run on the 25th as well. So those will decrease. When we put more expenses to FY24, it'll decrease a little bit some of these net income figures that you're seeing here on this slide. Looking a little closer at access and impact fees, this gives you a sort of a five-year look back, I guess. Access and impact fees were $300,000 for the month of June, and the total for the year was just over $3.1 million. From the chart, you can see that's about $1 million more than we collected in FY23. And it's the second highest in this 5 or 6 year look back here. So, of course, these fees represent one indicator of the level of private investment in our community. And we can see that after a bit of a dip the past year or two, it's picked back up again. And if access and impact fees are kind of the measure of private investment, we can also look at our own investment in our infrastructure. And that's what you see here with this slide on capital investment. This is a 10-year look back dating back to FY15, and it shows how RWU has progressively invested in its infrastructure. You know, there's some dips here and there, but the trend is definitely up. And then significantly in this past fiscal year, FY24, we see a big investment in our sewer system. Just to highlight that one a little bit, there was $5 million spent on sanitary sewer improvements at Pinnacle. There's about $3 million for our solids handling project at PCF, and then another $7 million or so on just various improvements and rehabilitations of our sewer system. So just looking at a 10-year timeline like this, in this context, you can see the FY15 numbers. By comparison, they look pretty small. And I would say don't be surprised if 10 years from now we come and we look at a similar chart and the FY24 numbers, by comparison, look pretty small.
Don't say that.
I think that's support.
Nervous chuckle, right?
I think it was all a vote of confidence, but I'm not sure.
The good news is if you know it's coming, you can plan for it, right? And we know it's coming, so we'll plan for it.
It's going to continue to grow, and so we'll have to keep up.
And we've got master plans to help guide our decisions along the way. Those are being referenced as we get together with our rate study consultants and as we talk about new debt down the line. Those are all important considerations and good reference tools to have. I want to talk about pension liability and expense for just a minute. We participate in the Arkansas Public Employees Retirement System, or APERS. And so each year, the APERS actuary calculates the net pension liability for the plan as a whole. Right? A bunch of different employers participate in it at the state level. It's organized at the state level, and that actuary calculates the present value of the projected benefit payouts to plan members. That's what the plan owes or will owe over time, right? And then they subtract from that their net position or the value of their investments. And the difference between the two, that net amount owed, is the net pension liability for the plan as a whole. And then they allocate that to their different participating employers. And so we get an allocation of that liability, which governmental accounting standards require us to report in our financial statements. And so we do. For FY24 reporting, we actually use the state's numbers from the prior fiscal year. So those numbers as of June 30, 2023. So on that date, our net pension liability was just under $6.1 million. You see there that they're kind of on the top left. Almost $6.1 million, representing a 15% increase from the prior year. It is allocated between our water and sewer funds. Those numbers are reported on their respective balance sheets. And then next to that is pension expense. And so pension expense, it's a little bit counterintuitive. It's not really what we've contributed to the plan in a given year, but it is also based on that net pension liability number, and kind of how that number changes each year is how the actuary for APERS arrives at our pension expense. It's allocated in a similar fashion. We get a share of that pension expense each year. And looking at the numbers, you can see that our pension expense essentially doubled from the previous year. And I would say, just as a word of caution, don't look at that as a trend, because pension expense can fluctuate pretty widely given just the number of different factors that an actuary will consider in coming up with the liability each year. There's a lot that goes into it. I think last year, actually, we reported or the year before, it was a negative expense. It was actually a revenue, right? And so it can fluctuate pretty widely, but in this case, we see a doubling of that expense from FY23 to FY24. I include this slide because it is a significant liability for us, you know, $6 million on our balance sheet. The good news is we're not responsible for keeping the plan funded. That's the job of APERS. We just make sure that we contribute what we're required to each year. And the state does have a plan for making sure that it's funded. I've not seen a change in our employer contribution. It's still about 15.3% of employee salaries. But the employee piece, the state's got a plan for increasing that a little bit each year to help keep the plan funded. So it's been 5.5% for the prior year, and then effective July 1, that ticked up another 0.25% to 5.75%. So those, a little bit of increases each year on the employee side, as well as I would assume some increase on the employer side at some point, help keep that plan in sound financial footing. Restricted and unrestricted funds. This is a busy slide, but what we want to point out there is just kind of that bottom line number, both for water and for sewer. For water, our unrestricted funds to end the fiscal year were about $19 million, and our total restricted funds, $6.2 million, for a total in the water fund of $25.2 million. For the sewer fund, unrestricted funds were $23.2 million. Restricted funds were about $2.5 million, total of $25.7 million total. And so for water and sewer combined, that total is, there at the very bottom, kind of in the middle, $50.9 million. That's compared to the end of last fiscal year, we were at $49.3 million. It's an increase of about $1.6 million, our cash position from year to year. So, as a finance person, I like to see that, but I would just say, don't plan on that every year. It's nice to have a little bit of extra money sitting in the bank account. We have required minimum reserves, as you know. Right now, those are about $27 million in total, which we will work to preserve at least those minimum reserves. But as our master plans call for it, we'll deploy the excess. When the time comes, when we have those projects ready, we'll aim to deploy the difference between our required minimum reserves and what you see here, along with new debt that will be required to complete those capital projects. But still, we end the fiscal year in pretty good financial position, a little bit of an improvement over the prior year. Wanted to kind of use these last few slides to talk about consumption. This slide is billed water consumption. The blue lines here represent our water customers, and the orange line shows our water consumption. So again, it's a 10-year look back here. Since FY15, we've added about 6,000 water customers, from about 30,000 to about 36,000. Annual consumption has increased over that same time period by about $800 million, from $2.5 billion in FY15 to $3.3 billion this past fiscal year. We do see a little bit of a dip in consumption from FY23 to FY24. It's about a $64 million decrease, about 2%. In this 10-year look back, you can see that happened one other time, from FY19 to FY20. We actually had a little bit of a decrease in our billed consumption. Going back and looking at some of the financial reports from earlier in the fiscal year, it looks like most of that decrease is from relatively lower billed consumption last summer, last fall. I wasn't here, but I'm guessing those were a little bit wetter than the prior year, so we didn't bill out as much consumption. But this is just a sort of an interesting look back at billed water consumption, and then sort of with that, the change in average water consumption. So what we've done here is we've taken our three customer classes, residential, commercial, and industrial, and we've standardized the average consumption to the FY15 usage. And so we can see with FY15 kind of as the benchmark, what has the average consumption done since then? So if you look at that blue line there, that's residential. It's fluctuated a little bit. It went up last year, and this year it kind of dipped back down again to be essentially unchanged over these last 10 years. Commercial is about 125% of the FY15 consumption, and industrial is about 130% of FY15 consumption. So both commercial and industrial, per customer, the consumption has definitely moved upward over the last 10 years.
It's going to be interesting to see how that changes as we build differently over the next 10 years. You know, think about the last 10 years, what has been developed. But then looking at the 10 years as the city's looking at higher density, so it'll be kind of interesting if that average, when you have more densely, just different type of development over the next 10 years that maybe we've seen. So, yeah, so it's kind of interesting, the average kind of stays the same. But just as we build more densely, more mixed use, how does that, or will it impact?
I would think the same thing. I would think you'd have to see something.
Yeah, just
but it's interesting on this, the COVID effect there.
Mm-hmm. The average is pretty much the same. It's good. It's kind of, well, thank you for that data.
We'll look at the same thing on sewer, just for a little bit of comparison. You can see the billed sewer consumption has been a little bit more predictable. Right, irrigation meters are not billed for sewer, so the weather-dependent fluctuations for irrigation usage doesn't show up here as much. Obviously, not everybody's got an irrigation meter, so some outside watering is done on just the regular standard water meter. So you'll still see some impacts here, but not as dramatic. From FY23 to 24, we don't see the dip here like we do in the water consumption, but we see that the rate of increase flattened out from the prior year. Number of customers increased by 4,000 from FY15 to FY24. So it was a $6,000 customer increase on the water side, 4,000 customers on the sewer side.
Does that track? It seems like our community's grown more than that. You think about the population increases. You look at 4,000, 6,000.
The same 200 per year.
Just a household?
I'm just thinking, if you think about how our community.
Well, don't a lot of multifamilies just have one meter now? So is that technically, so that's just one customer?
Yeah.
I'm just thinking, if you think of that, I know our population has grown more than you think of those numbers. So you're right, I guess if you've got density, you're having 1 meter rather than 20 meters.
Annual build consumption has increased by about 500 million gallons. So each year it's about 500 million gallons more than it was in FY. Change in average sewer consumption. So for residential, it's about 104% of FY15 consumption. For commercial, it's about 112%. And just like with water, industrial has the sort of the biggest increase in average consumption, up to 139% of the average FY15 consumption. Still a little variation there, as you can see, but on the whole, trending up. We'll wrap up with some lost water statistics. The blue line shows how much of our purchased water we were unable to bill each month. We had lost water of 14% for the month of June, and our rolling 12-month average at year-end was 7.5%. That's the orange line. So that rolling average smooths it out a little bit, for a little bit more of a consistent metric. and then taking a sort of a longer time frame here, on an annual basis, here's the lost water by fiscal year. As I just mentioned, we were 7.5% to finish FY24. That's up from our low in FY23, but still down considerably from what you can see, sort of our recent historical average. And I know Brent and Johnny have talked about the reasons for that with our leak detection system and just the fact that when faced with a decision about what kind of infrastructure to put in the ground, we have made it our practice to choose the good stuff, the quality stuff, instead of the cheap or easy thing or readily accessible thing, readily available. So because of those decisions, we kind of see the benefit of that, right? Mm-hmm. We don't want to spend more than we have to, but we do want to spend what is prudent for achieving an effective and efficient system. And we'll continue to do that. And we'll monitor the finances as we go. But that wraps up our sort of quick overview of the FY24 financials. If you ever have any questions about any of these in any more detail, you can always reach out to me directly, and I'd be happy to visit with you a little bit more.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions, comments on financials?
Okay.
Thank you very much. Next item would be engineering reports.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. Starting out with plan review, had 106 plan sets come through in June, so a little bit less than we had the month before, but still just pretty consistent number of developments coming through. Unless you all saw something that a specific project you want to talk about, I won't go through any of these in detail. We'll note, you know, we're seeing a little bit more activity out at the airport. I think we had a couple of airplane hangars in for review, and I know those guys are looking at a master plan, and so we're hoping to get on board with that and have the master plan address some overall utility layouts for that airport, so we can have a solid plan to serve the airport in the future. And I will also mention that it doesn't reflect on the June report, but in July we're starting to see some inquiries come in with regard to the Cave Springs annexation area over there. And so, I think we knew there'd be some situations that, you know, we didn't anticipate with this. With this agreement, and some of these are already in Cave Springs. They weren't in our water service area, and so and some of them might be proposing to have Cave Springs water and Rogers sewer. Some of them were in Cave Springs but want to feed off of a main that's going to remain in Rogers, and so there's lots of different scenarios that we're going to have to work through over the next couple of months, and you know, may have to work with Cave to amend some of those agreements if necessary, but we haven't worked that out yet. But we're starting to see a lot of activity in that area. So as we noted last month, we saw a big surge in impact and access fees near the end of the year, and this kind of sheds a little bit of light on that. We can see that we had a lot of activity in April, May, and June of 2024 with multifamily, and so with multifamily, you're going to have a lot of access fees that are paid up front, and also the impact fees are paid up front with those. With a traditional subdivision, you know, the developer will pay the access fees up front, but then as those lots develop, the impact fees start trickling in over the next few months. But that surge in multifamily there towards the end of the year, really, we really saw that increase in impact and access fees there.
Promise we'll make it up. Thank you for doing this, because I think maybe I asked, or somewhere along the way, maybe at our last meeting, because we have that number, and oftentimes, well, what's that number? And again, I ask a question, well, what? And so being able to see the 313,955, but kind of seeing, if you will, the projects that flow along with that over the course of the year helps. It helps me kind of understand, okay, well, you know, 737,000, that's a big number. And so to see some of the projects along with that. So thank you for doing that, because I know that took somebody some extra time. So.
Absolutely. And I mean, you got to keep in mind that, you know, if we have a 400-unit apartment complex and each one of those units has $600 in access fees, I mean, that's a big number. It only takes a few of those multifamily developments to really grow that revenue.
Well, it just kind of gives you a little bit of an idea. Again, we can see the number in the income statement. It's good to see, okay, well, what makes up that number? So thank you for doing that.
Absolutely. Some of the project status. We did have a meeting with Freeze Nichols on our plant capacity improvement project. As Jared noted, these costs are coming. It looks like out of the kind of conceptual estimate for this first phase, looks like it's going to be in the neighborhood of $110 million for the capacity improvements at the plant. There's a lot of things going on there, but I'm planning. We had a few comments on their conceptual presentation. Based on the discussions we've been having over the last 6 or 8 months, I'm hoping to get Freeze and Nichols in here, if not for the August meeting, maybe the September meeting, to go over those findings and our plan moving forward with that. We did add one new project to the conceptual list. RDOT is in the process of designing the Highway 112 widening. And this is right there on the edge of Shadow Valley, on the edge of Rogers and Cave Springs. We do have lots of utilities in there that we'll be relocating. So I've asked RDOT for authorization for us to hire a consultant to help us out with the design of those utility relocations. And then in design, I noted last month that we had kind of had that Chateau sewer project on hold due to all the tornado damage in that area. I am meeting with the folks from Innisfree Retirement over there to kind of look at that alignment. We've been trying to avoid some big trees over there that are now non-existent, and so we might end up changing our alignment and working with those guys and see what their future plans are for that facility as well.
Hold just a second. On that 112 widening, I don't go way into that, but once we know more about the 112 widening and relocation, will any of that be shared with Cave Springs? Because obviously on our portion, that anything that happens eventually becomes, at least on that side, becomes Cave Springs. So just as you go forward, does that make sense? What I'm saying is that if we're going to spend time and energy and resources now, at some point that becomes Cave Springs, right?
Right.
There'll be a little piece of that in interconnection.
Yeah, I just, as I was thinking through, you know, we went through all that in the comments that were made about some of the development out there. I know we were trying to anticipate what might happen until Cave Springs was able to basically bring services to the area. So I didn't know if that 112 widening, if that puts any burden on us that we didn't expect, or will that be something that we have that gets shared with Cave Springs?
I think there's a couple of things going on there. A significant portion of the cost of this project, design and construction, should be reimbursable for RDOT.
Okay.
Since we're in an easement and they are pushing us out of that easement and acquiring that right of way, under the utility accommodation policy, those should be reimbursable expenses for that project. However, we do have that 24-inch waterline crossing under the highway out there that is likely going to have to be adjusted in some form or fashion. Since we are in RDOT's right-of-way, that will be our expense. We need to talk to Cave and see what the ultimate plan is for metering that area, which is something that's going to be beneficial for both cities. You know, we'll have a second feed out there and vice versa. And so I think those are some conversations that we'll need to have.
Thank you.
Out to bid right now, we have intersection at 5th and Walnut. The street department will be repaving, putting new crosswalks in that intersection as part of a larger scale downtown curbing, striping, redevelopment. And so we're going to replace those old utilities under that intersection. That's going to be bid out. We're opening bids on Wednesday on that one. Then I threw the solids handling facility in here. This is a CMAR project, but we do have all the work packages currently out for bid. I think we have our walkthroughs this week out there. This isn't something that's going to come back to commission unless our guaranteed maximum price is affected in some form or fashion, which I don't anticipate. But we are getting closer to getting under construction on that. Ben's addition sewer replacements on hold. We do have a change order request to get that one back off of High Center and get the contractor back out there. Some other project updates. If you recall, we had the 24-inch sewer line beneath I-49 along Blossom Way Creek that was getting plugged up. We kind of, you know, we saw a lot of buildup in that line, and so we hired a contractor to come out there and use a chain flail reaming machine to ream that pipe out. And I'm going to see if this video works, because I do have some footage of that. And I'm not sure if my mouse is working. It says it's turned on. Oh, there it is. There it goes. Just took it twice, I guess. Let's see if I can open this up real quick. Maybe it won't let me, but in any case, this chain flail, as it went through the pipe, it dislodged some of this. As far as we can tell, it's tuberculation from corrosion of the pipe, along with some grease buildup and some other stuff in there. And as that went through the pipe, we saw holes develop at the pipe, and water was coming in because it, you know, we're that sewer line's below the creek, we're in groundwater. And so we'll be lining that pipe, and I'm not sure if that's going to be done this week, or I know they were kind of gearing up to get that done. But we did find next week's when they're going to be.
So I know what that means. So it's a relining of the pipe, not replacing. It's basically you're able to go in, reline the pipe, stop the leaks. Is that
correct? Yeah. We'll insert a liner, so you pressurize a liner up in there, and then I believe this is a UV cured liner, so they run a UV light in there to harden the resin that's in the pipe, and it's basically just a sleeve through the existing ductile iron pipe.
Is that pipe to do that, or is it just an open flow, just continue to line?
They'll block.
I don't know the real details. I'm just thinking 24 inch pipe, and you don't have to close it off.
They'll block it off and bypass pump around it while they're doing that.
How long? I mean, it's a 24 inch, but what kind of distance you have to line?
I think that one's about 400 feet, something like that. It goes under both lanes of I-49. Wow. So, and we looked at the records for this sewer line, and you know, we found in our record drawings that they had installed this sewer line in anticipation of the highway being built. So it was early 80s when it was installed. It was likely not epoxy lined. And so, you know, it's been there. You've got groundwater on one side, sewer gases on the other side. It's corroded pretty bad.
When you line that, how long will that line, are we talking, I said 10, 20, 30 years, or indefinite?
That liner should last, and I mean, indefinitely. I mean, that material is a, you know, it's a like kind of like a fiberglass resin, and so it's going to be resistant to sewer gases. And I think the oldest lining that we have in the city is probably about 20 years old, somewhere in that neighborhood.
So will it become stronger than the? I mean, you got an outer lining. If that outer lining continues to crack, or it basically becomes the line when you line it.
It's not encased. It's not encased.
I don't know. Maybe curiosity is more about the fact that we're not having to dig and replace it.
Hey, they thought there was going to be a ladder down there.
Ladder, how long?
Right.
And then on projects like this, was probably not budgeted anywhere, or is it just going to capital improvement fund?
Mm-hmm.
This was part of it. The lining was part of it. They found this. And
okay.
It was required as part of it.
So they'll repair it. The company repairs
it. In case we didn't want to have to come back and remobilize.
Got it.
We had a budget line item for cured in place pipe lining, and so this would fall into that budget category. But we did send this out to bid. The commission approved that bid a few months ago.
I do wish you could have seen the video. It wasn't like going through butter. It was just banging off rocks, and it just took. I don't know how many times they had to go around with that to get clean, but it's quite.
How long did that take them to do that?
It took them 2 days, 2 full days, and they're not done with all the percolation and stuff yet. They didn't want to knock off more of it before they got the liner in because they didn't know how bad the other side would be leaking, and they didn't want
it. Yeah.
But
that's not bad wages for 2 days, though, huh?
No, it was 3 or 4 days apart. Yeah.
Wow.
That 400, does it get you all the way through whatever the clog, if you will, get you from free flow?
Gets us from manhole
manhole. Okay.
Okay.
All
right.
And I apologize.
How deep is that line under there?
Yeah, that's interesting.
24.
No, how deep?
Oh, how deep?
Yeah.
It's going to be pretty deep.
Yeah.
Well, what would they
think?
Anything,
I think there.
Well, there was something. There was a hole under that they dug out there forever in front of the hospital. You could see. Was that our? That,
oh, yeah, by Mercy.
Yeah, it's just, and it was, and it's big. I mean, it was deep. There's a big hole. Golly, it's so deep. Well. Again, apologies. I just that stuff kind of interests me. Again, it's more about you've got the pipe, you put the liner in there. We've got long term. We're not having to come back later at some point and it'll have life to it.
Well, I will note that we're currently in design on a Blossom Way line that's going to address some capacity issues in that area, and that'll go parallel with this line. So if we ever do have a catastrophic failure in one line or the other, if the structure just completely caves in, we'll have that other line there. That project in that area at least is also all about redundancy, getting under the highway.
Thank you.
So it goes under the highway too.
And I do want to mention, and this is another one that Aaron's going to present. Once we found the condition of that line, field operations looked at other lines going under the interstate, and the 12-inch that comes out there by Outback Steakhouse and goes across the highway toward the Toyota dealership looks exactly the same as that 24 did. It's tuberculated and got some of those blockages. It's still flowing just fine, but we need to go and ream that out and plan on lining that as well. So we've got some options in the contract where it's not going to cost us any more than what we'd originally approved, but Aaron's going to present that change order.
That's good. Thank you.
As far as Pinnacle Sewer, pretty much done with the utility construction inside the golf course. We're still working on cleanup. That's been an ongoing thing. Everything directly affecting golf play has been restored. We're still working on cart paths and areas of the rough, but they had a tournament out there last weekend, so We might have been a little bit of an eyesore out there, still laying sod, but otherwise we're getting it cleaned
up. Overall, did that go better or worse than what y'all were anticipating before you started?
I've got to say that we expected a handful. It's probably been a little worse.
They got two handfuls.
I suspect you expected the worst going into that.
I think we.
Brian, that's good.
Probably
understand.
I think in all this, we were all kind of trying to say, okay, communicate, and kind of anticipate that.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that some of the golfers that I talked to just had to tribute this last weekend, and I didn't hear, as far as the course condition, at least in my mind, I was thinking we're LPGA, but had kind of lost track of some of the events that occurred to that. But the golfers I talked to had nothing. I mean, they were all complimentary. There's things that still need to be done, but I don't think it affected. Well, it may not have affected their play, but good. I say thank you for dealing with a handful of challenges, and again, the project will be completed, and LPGA moves on. And
we still have about a month before the LPGA.
Is that it?
Yeah. So we should be good, shouldn't we?
Travis, did you want to know about anything specifically about those handful of people?
No, no.
Okay.
No.
I catch you off. Sorry about that.
Just the last thing, I think I mentioned a little bit about the RPCF solids handling. We've got the 90% plans in hand going through. We're going through those permitting processes and doing some final cleanup of the plans. And that's what the bids are going to be based off of. We're anticipating starting pavement demolition and construction sometime in October. So that is all for my report, unless you have any questions.
Thank you. Thank you for the engineer report.
Another month. Again, the plant, we're getting our solids under control, and it's starting to line out. You can see our total suspended solids are starting to come down as we get those down. I mean, obviously, we were never in danger of our permit limit, but you can see a performance improvement as our inventory gets more under control. Now that we have that under control, we do have some planned maintenance work we should get started on here in a couple of weeks. So. The industrial pretreatment, we did our annual heavy metal testing on our influent. Everything looked normal on that. We rarely have issues on that. I think one time we had to do a retest like very early on when I first got here, but it's pretty rare we have any issues there. That's on our influent though, so that's good. It's just a spot check, but it's good to have a baseline. The fog reports, she's just putting out little fires as she goes. She does a super job. A gentleman in today trying to get his food truck changed over to a grease interceptor instead of an agreement with a local restaurant, which she's been working to try to move those because it's difficult to track how often somebody dumps at a restaurant that they've agreed to, and then also like what does that do to the restaurant's grease interceptors? That wasn't really something that they'd agreed to start with. So she's doing good, keeping everything. Taken care of there. Oops.
It's interesting, the Texas Roadhouse comments.
Yes.
I'm not sure that that's for public consumption, but obviously it's in the public habitably.
Right.
What was it? If you've ever tried to go in there, I completely understand what you said. That it's, their numbers far exceed, was it 9,000?
Yeah, 9,000 customers a month.
That's phenomenal.
She told me that was double their projection.
Well, and then something hadn't been cleaned since it had been started, which I don't understand all that, but I thought 9,000 people a month, that's a lot of...
Well, now, if you try to get in there...
It's just the fact that that's a lot of people to try to get into the restaurant in a month.
Yes.
And she always enjoy reading her comments.
Yeah, because she's out there touching. She's out there touching the public restaurants and things like that. So. Yeah, so we had talked about our inability to run our solids at Springdale, and I'd talked about us last month. I'd talked about us, you know, visiting with the guys out at Utah, and Hoover's reports kind of mimicked our conclusion on that. So, I let Springdale know that, you know, they have that third party hopper out there, and they appreciated that feedback too. So. As Brian touched on, we did submit the 90% design for permitting. The capacity improvement project team did their conceptual work to the staff. We sent them some comments, and they will be addressing those comments, and we'll be getting with you guys soon on that. We had 304 million gallons go through the plant in June. At an 8.5 MGD, that would have been 255, it's a little over, you know, right at 49 million gallons. It was a fairly dry month, just 2.3 inches of rain, with seven events. It's about half the rain we normally get, so, it went down like you would expect it would. But that's what I've got. Does anybody have any questions for me? Thank you,
sir.
Yeah. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Thank you, all the reports. Thank you all for those. That concludes the report section. We have no old business, so we'll move into new business. The first item under new business is Resolution 24-22, which has some amendments to the budget that we approved back in May. So,
Rick? Yes, so I come to you tonight. Back in May, some folks had talked to me about increasing the load with SCADA, and I just did not really accept that. Upon further inspection, the way we need to do that, we've got three people, including Mark, the supervisor. Brian's in here as well. See Armando. But we have three people to take care of everything we have that deals with SCADA, lift stations, or pump stations, or water towers. And to do that right, you need to put one more, but you can't just have a helper. You also need a person that's highly trained. In case something ever happens to that department, we just don't have enough people. So we need another person for that. That'll also help with some of the on-call time and other things that they just don't really get much of right now. Also on this amendment, and I take full responsibility for that. I should have included it in the first one. I did not, but here we are to fix that. And also, while we were doing this budget amendment, one of the vehicles that we had had on order that we were told we were going to receive did not show up and still hasn't showed up. So we went back to field ops and said, you know, what else can we do? We found another unit, and then we just went back to the first drawing board. So what do we really need? And to Jared's comment earlier, it's, you know, we had put a number in there, but what do we really need to do the job right? And we determined that we need a larger vehicle that can, you know, has a 6-inch suction hose that can do the work of, in certain applications, certainly not all of them, but in certain applications, this thing can do the work of a mini X and a trailer and a dump truck. You know, so, and I'll leave that. That's, Johnny's got the information to present that later. But this is the budget amendment that will allow for that increase of one in the SCADA department, and also the extra dollars for the new truck.
Is it both trucks 4 and 5, the item numbers 4 and 5?
Well, one's already, the flushing truck was already in the...
Is that 24 number or 25 number?
25.
So we're just adding?
Yes. Yes, sir.
And then you're referencing that, and we'll be looking at those to approve. Yes. But you've already built those in the budget.
And so I'd just like to request passage of resolution number 2422, amending the budget as so stated.
Okay, commission members, we have a staff recommendation to, and I would entertain a motion to amend the fiscal year 2025 budget, and basically it would include items in Exhibit 1. And with that, I would entertain a motion to amend the budget.
I would make a motion.
Second.
Travis. Kathy, any other comments, discussion? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries to approve the resolution 2422 to amend the 2025 budget.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next item we have is resolution 24-23, and that is a resolution amending the compensation administration policy for RW Utilities, adding additional positions, specifying pay ranges, and for other purposes. Dan.
Well, that's small print, isn't it? I'll walk you through it. This is an amendment or proposed amendment for our salary table. And we do this each year for the commission, and we're asking permission to amend it with two new positions. It's right under office manager. It would be a city works coordinator dash technical operations supervisor, and then two lines below that would be engineering inspection supervisor.
Thank you. Awesome. So city court has
both positions would be filled in-house. One's actually already been filled. They don't have the title. Be no increase to the budget. We do budget each year for different promotions, so we have the funds in place for that. The city works coordinator would be a field position. The inspection supervisor would be an engineering position. We already actually have a person providing that supervision. They don't have the title, and we're just trying to fine tune that, make that right. But we are asking your approval to add these two positions to our salary table.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we have staff recommendation to amend the compensation administration policy as presented, and with that, I would entertain a motion to approve the update amendment.
I'll make a motion to ask resolution 24-23, the updated salary table.
Motion, second?
Second.
Second. Motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion approve resolution 24-23. Motion carries.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. Okay, the next item is resolution 24-24, and that would be for the purchase of a certain motor vehicle, i.e. be a Dodge 1500 pickup. Johnny?
So we're coming to you to ask to waive competitive bidding again. It's on same as we bought before, the 2023 Dodge Ram 1500. They have another one over in Siloam that we can go ahead and purchase without having to wait for how long, we don't know, to get it. And they have one in stock over there. And so we're asking you to waive competitive bidding for the price of $40,412.24 for us to be, and we make recommendations that allow us to approve to make this purchase. Resolution.
Okay, Commission, we've heard the recommendation. I would entertain a motion for resolution 24-24.
I'll make a motion to approve resolution 24-24.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve resolution 24-24 and waiving competitive bidding for the purchase of the Dodge pickup for $40,412.24. Any further comments, questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries to approve resolution 24-24. You can go get your truck.
Okay, thank you.
Now, the next one we have is, Johnny, you've got the next two. Now, this one looks like a little different Dodge.
It's a little different
purchase price. But this next item is a purchase of a combination
vehicle flushing vacuum excavation. So, you've got a lot of information here for us to review. So,
This is for our combination flush truck with the vacuum and everything for us to replace what we call the white elephant. You know, she's 25 years old or older. I can't remember how old. 2005, so 20 years old.
So we have one.
No, we have two.
Two.
We have Hogzilla and we have the white elephant.
So why is the white elephant?
We'll sell it on GovDeals.
Okay, so it'll go away.
It'll go away. And so this is to replace it. We went out for, we didn't have to go out for bid because this truck was bought off of state procurement or off of procurement through HGAC. We looked at many different ones, and our guys wanted to go simple. You know, normally we bought VACCONs and stuff like that, but they've gotten so complicated on the front end, you know, you almost have to, as we say, we almost have to have a college education to know how to run everything up on the front and in the truck. You know, when our guys just want to pull up, hop out of the truck, go to work, and not have to worry about doing everything with the gauges and the buttons and all of that. And so this one fits that bill, you know, and we narrowed it down to two. And this is the one that our guys elected to go with. So, and we budgeted $470,000. I think we ended in the last year's budget. I think we budgeted for originally $500,000, but when we amended the budget, we dropped it to $470,000 because we knew that our grand total there was going to be $467,159. So.
Okay, so the way we're going to do this is, obviously we have a recommendation. Johnny would like to purchase this, so what I would like to do is just entertain a motion for the approval of the purchase. So with that,
I'll make a motion to approve the purchase of the vacuum excavation vehicle. How much is it for?
$467,159.
$467,159. Yeah. I think that's what I would do.
Yes.
I'll second.
So,
Kathy,
Travis.
Yeah.
Okay.
Any
further comments, questions?
Just hope
he
gets 18 years out of it.
Yeah, really.
Well, I'm sorry. Mr. Chairman, I just wondered if that motion could include that price. It's presented
$467,159.
The motion would include the $467,159. Basically, what we have is the customer sales order in front of us. And the only question I would have is just making sure that y'all get what you need that does the job that you need. Again, if you can get this, would be white elephant number two or whatever that you can get.
I don't want a white elephant number two.
You can get 18 years or however many years, whatever you decide to name it. Motion second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries to purchase the combination flushing vacuum excavation vehicle. The next item would be for $467,159.
Yes.
Is that good? Thank you, sir. Keep it straight. Okay, John, the next item we've got.
Okay, so the next one is it's a vacuum excavation truck. And basically what this is we currently have a vacuum excavation trailer, and this is for us to be able to go out and let me find the price for you guys first. There we go. So this is for us to go out and vacuum excavate like dirt and to expose gas lines, electric lines, and stuff like that. With because under the new 811 laws, you know, it's getting more stringent on us and stuff that pretty well are pretty soon, you know, everybody's going to be down to this, you know. I was just talking to the salesman right before we come in here. He's like, working with two other cities already up here to sell them a piece of equipment like this, Fayetteville and Bentonville. Basically, like I said, it's just for our guys to be able to safely go out there, expose everything before we go out to make put our equipment, our backhoes or minis or whatever we're going to dig with in there. Also, this gives us the opportunity, as big as this piece of equipment is, because we're building for the, we bought it for the future. Knowing that with the new condensed streets and everything that we're going to be dealing with, and that we're going to need to have something that we can get in there and make the repairs with, and everything, this would allow us to do that. So, you know, this truck has a big enough tank on it and everything that we can get in there, basically vacuum excavate, do everything that we need to do and make the repair, and then just haul in the back, the base and all that stuff to backfill. This piece of equipment also comes with air. So if we're in a new subdivision and we don't want to make a mess, we can actually use it, air, and vacuum it up, and then we can take the dirt that we took out of the ground and dump it right back in and everything, so we can keep the newer subdivisions cleaned up, because we have contractors, or, we have them where the home builders or the builders will want to move a water service, or, because they decided to put the driveway for the home where the water service is and stuff like that. So we move a lot of water services. So again, like I said, this would help us keep those clean. So we'd like to make a recommendation for you to allow us to purchase this. Again, it's on procurement from Sourcewell. And the sales price is for $436,018.78. We put $470,000 in the budget because we was looking at for two different trucks. The other truck was $470,000, but it ended up being a little bit smaller. And after talking with my field supervisor, he really felt that he thought this truck would be better for us for the future and everything. So we'd like to make a recommendation. We had $245,000, as Brent said, for the truck before. They told us it would be here July 4th. We got the call on July, right after we got back from the July 4th holiday. They told us that now they were looking October, possibly maybe the first of the year. So this truck had been ordered for quite some time and everything. So that's when we decided to start looking and everything. We get that one as soon as Jared gives me a check, because it's sitting in Memphis and we did it that day, so.
what we're being asked is the vac system that's also the Kenworth. It all comes as a package.
Yes, sir. Yeah, it's sitting on the Kenworth truck.
Because it had both of them, there's a lot of information.
Yes, it is.
As it says, single engine vacuum excavation machine with basis of the 2024 Kenworth.
Yes, sir.
And the total package is the $436,018.78.
Yes, sir.
So with that, we have a staff request and a recommendation to purchase a vacuum excavation vehicle. And I would entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion that we authorize the purchase of a vacuum excavation vehicle, sales price
$436,018.78. I'll second.
Motion second. Any further discussion?
Keeping the trailer?
Yes, we'll keep the trailer, yes.
All in favor of the motion say aye.
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 Any opposed?
And just a little update too on vehicles. Our two-ton trucks that we've been trying to buy for a little over a year now. We actually have one in might be in Tulsa now. Getting the bed, our first one, getting the bed put on. The second one's in transit. It might be in Siloam by now. And the third one is on the production line. So that. We ordered those a year ago, and now they're just now getting through that process. So,
good work, Johnny. Thank you very much. And also saved some money. Got some numbers that came in below our budget, so that's good words. Thank you.
Okay. The next item we have is item 60, be a construction change order for the band's sewer replacement.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Aaron, I know you had, there was a picture in there and then the numbers.
All right. Thank you. We have a little plan sheet here just to kind of show you what all work is going. I do not want that. So when we originally bid this out, there was a development that was going on this plot of land, and they were going to extend the sewer across. So in the meantime, the developer sold the project to another developer. It wasn't high on their priority list. And because of how this is laid out, it's cut off on this sheet, but we have a 24-inch transmission main for water over here, and our sewer is relatively close to it. We're pretty close to some houses, so we're able to reroute the sewer through this subdivision, future subdivisions, and not have to be that close to our transmission main. So this helps out our sewer system and water system greatly. But we are having to get this moving, so we decided to go ahead and put in this sewer ourselves, or at least that's our plan here. We've coordinated with the developers and tried to help them out as much as we can, but we are trying to get this put in now with our contractor because we can't do the rest of the sewer that we planned in the band sewer job without this connection. So we went back to the contractor. But our pricing here, as it was available, the unit pricing is the same as what was originally bid on this job. So we've just extended out quantities, and there are a few items that weren't on the original bid list. But this is the price for the actual work here. And because of this delay that happened, we ended up having to demobilize the contractor, and then we're going to have to bring him back out. So they gave us a price for the remobilization. So that brings our totals here. So we've got our original contract price, the additional work, the remobilization cost, bringing our new total up. So if you have any questions, that'd be...
The developer hadn't... There's nothing in large scale right now for that.
So the developer has submitted plans, the first set of plans, in October of last year. They have not submitted a new set of plans yet. They
it was first submitted with the original developer and then it sold. Okay, this is
the new developer. So D.R. Horton bought this, and you'd get me lying if I was going to say the original contractor or the original developer, but D.R. Horton bought it. They've been working on other sites as they bought up some of these projects, and it's getting closer, but they're still not in a rush to get this project started.
Waiting for RWU to put in a sewer line.
Yeah, we're saving that's a pretty good money.
It might get back up on the priority list after this.
We were really trying not to spend this money. Mm-hmm. To the point where we can't wait to get the money out
of this. They waited us out.
Well, commission members, we have a, as we can see here, the staff recommends approval of the change order for the band sewer replacement in the amount of $118,389, bringing it to the new bid amount to $3,525,833.07. And with that recommendation, I will entertain a motion.
We'll make a motion.
Travis?
I'll second.
Kathy? Any further discussion with that? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries to approve the change order to Vans sewer replacement.
Thank you.
Okay. The next item we have is a construction change order is cleaning and blockage removal under I-49.
So as Brian talked about earlier... Yes, sir. So this is the location here as it cuts across a nice angle. So that's actually 540 and change feet from manhole to manhole there. And I keep flying through there. This is what the actual inside of that sewer pipe looks like. Goodness. But The 24 looked very similar to this. You can kind of see how we've got buildup on the sides. It makes it difficult to run a camera through there. We believe that it was concrete lined, and so that concrete lining in the ductile iron pipe is slowly failing, as you expect it to do. But because of that, it kind of gives some points for all this fat and grease to try to collect on. And of course, this is where they ran through with that chain flail and knocked it all down. So this is the kind of stuff we were dealing with. It was a little bit more pronounced on the 24, since this is only a little 12. Okay. But the contractor that's doing that is Humbard. They gave us a price to do this 12. You can see the price in there. They've got the bypass pumping, the liner, and the descaling. The nice part about this, if there is a nice part, so our original bid is up here, which was approved, and we had contingencies for if the pipe failed to replace it and for the liner. Since we're only doing the liner, we're not spending anywhere near the $426,000. We're only spending the $249,000. So with the price of this new section, it still only brings the amount paid to $102,400 for both locations to be done.
For 402, not 102.
Right.
The total between both. Now, we've already approved one and we've been working on it. So the total price for this new add-on is the $152,500.
Okay.
Is what they're just to do the 12-inch line. But just kind of showing you that
okay.
We approved 426 for the original project, which was just the 24. And so that's what the... So just kind of showing you that we've got budget money there, that we're not going out on a limb.
Okay, Aaron, thank you. So what you have before you is staff recommends the approval of change order number one for the project, cleaning and blockage removal from 24-inch sewer main at I-49 in the amount of $152,500, bringing total to be paid to $402,400. With that recommendation, I would entertain a motion.
I would make a motion.
Travis?
I'll second.
Kathy? Hi, Paige. We're stealing the show from you. Okay. So with that, any further discussion? All of the motions say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries to a change order for the cleaning and blockage and removal of under I-49. Thank you, Aaron. Okay, the last item we have is a proposal for geotechnical engineering services for Western Quarter Water Transmission.
Yes, this is the Western Corridor project that we have Garber engineers working on the preliminary plans. We are at the point that we need that we have our alignment pretty much laid out. We need to get some soil information. So we have solicited a proposal from McClellan Consulting Engineers based off of their qualifications and our annual statements of qualifications that we have on file. So this is about a 3.3 mile long corridor. Garber has specified 16 boring locations going down to a depth of at least 15 feet, and then an additional 5 locations for corrosivity testing, since we do planning on putting in metallic pipe for this water line. For these services, McClelland has given us a price in the proposal of $40,347 for the geotechnical investigation and report. Staff requests authorization to enter into this agreement with McClelland.
Okay, commission members, as you can read, staff request authorization to execute an agreement with Intel Consulting Engineers for some $40,000, which basically is a summation of work to geotechnical investigation of the Western Corridor Water Transmission Main, and the staff further request authorization to negotiate the final form and content of this agreement. So you have the request in front of you. Also, I'm sure a recommendation to move forward. So with that, I would entertain a motion.
Motion to approve the agreement with McClellan Consulting Engineers for a lump sum fee of $40,347.
Each?
Second.
Kathy, second. Any further discussion? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries to approve the geotechnical engineering services. And with that, at 5:15,
Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry. Is there a motion that the staff requested the authorization to approve the final form of contract agreement? A motion had that in there. I think it was probably intended to, as part of the request from staff. So one way to do that really would be to pass that item as presented.
I'm slow.
To add that motion, you would have had to read the whole thing.
Okay.
All right. To execute a motion
to approve the staff request as presented.
As presented, we'll get that done.
As presented. There you go.
So that would be a motion by Paige, a second by Kathy to approve the engineering services of the Western Corridor as presented for $40,347. We're all in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Are we good?
Thank you,
sir. That's why we pay him the big bucks. That's why he shows up at all the meetings. We got to keep it straight. Thank you. Well, now it's at 5:16, but I thought we were getting at 5:15. With that, I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
I make a motion that we adjourn.
Now go on.